I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Bring it up, Jake. How many bets are you thinking for tonight?
I was looking at college basketball, which I did not have a strong opinion on prior to that break that we just had. And we got a couple funny markets, kind of like Kentucky last night. I'm not quite sure why a couple teams are getting bet against so aggressively. Maryland is getting bet to an outrageous degree to me against Northwestern, who I actually watched a couple of weeks ago win at Indiana. And Tennessee's getting bet a lot. These SEC home teams, I know, have these like tremendous home court advantages in a bunch of the games that they play. Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Auburn, like kind of, you know, they don't lose a lot of home games. But Tennessee got bet out pretty significantly too. So maybe a BYU Kentucky like opportunity to play back the other way in some of those games. We'll see.
I kind of wanted to play on Tennessee a little earlier, and now like they're out to, it was like 5.5, I feel like, this morning, and now it's out to 7.5.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if I like that. Tennessee has just been like lambasting teams at home, just like, or just overall, like nuking teams, winning games by double digits, and Auburn's been a little inconsistent. I don't know if I want to lay that many points with Tennessee. I don't think I would bet Auburn in the game, though. I think it would be Tennessee or nothing.
I think I'm going to bet Auburn.
We do have.
Even honestly, based on that answer, I feel like that makes me want to bet Auburn. Like recency building out this market and making this line stretch out a little bit more maybe than it should.
There are a couple like zigzag spots that I'm eyeing tonight in college hoops.
Okay.
I'll tell you, one of them is Creighton.
Yeah.
Just lost to St. John's. Creighton a big favorite against Seton Hall. That would be one. What about Alabama coming off getting annihilated by Kentucky this weekend, laying 5 at Ole Miss? And whenever Ole Miss plays like a team like Alabama, like a team that can score a ton, like they can't keep up. That they can't score enough to keep up with these teams.
And market moved toward Ole Miss in that game from open. So that opened 6 and went to like 5, 5.5, I think, pretty fast and stayed there. So some support kind of for what you're saying that, you know, whatever people just saw will get baked in a little bit to especially like these road kind of games like that seem unappealing for that team. And yeah, I think Alabama is just like they're a tough bet for people in a road game, multiple possession, just because they don't defend at all. And this is why the last two games Kentucky played, right? Like lose to LSU on the road. Nobody likes them against Mississippi State. Like the teams that don't defend, they go on the road in conference. I think it makes sense why people don't like them very much.
The other game that I, and that, this is not like necessarily like a zigzag game, South Carolina is a 5.5-point dog on the road at A&M tonight. A&M's lost like four straight games. Do you have like any thought there on that game, South Carolina at Texas A&M? A&M's laying 5.5 at home.
That is not one I've looked at. That is another one where the home team, and again, with these SEC games, I guess you're going to see this in every game, where you know this opened A&M 3? That's what this opened?
They've gotten slammed. I think I'm going to bet South Carolina.
Half six, half 5.5. Just not sure I buy, a lot of these, like, you know, sometimes if it's like, okay, well, the entire team has the flu or something, like, okay, well, then we should have like a really big market move on that. But some of these college games, a couple of people pointed that out to me last night, like, oh, you guys liked BYU. That turned out to be right. You guys like Kentucky. These games where you get a little more for your money with how the market ends up moving against you, and away from like all of these popular ratings that are out there too. Those games are always the most fun for me, where there's just, you're always kind of like, what's going on here? Like, you're never really sure. You know, like, why Mississippi State? Like, what was that? And not even that it was wrong or that it was like not a good bet for people who bet them at a much smaller number. Just when those games just get totally disconnected from how everybody else you talk to feels about the game, all the ratings that you see, those are going to be the most fun. I think we have a few of those tonight.
We don't really have anything like that in the NBA tonight, right?
Well, we need to wait on like a lot of stuff. So the game that is potentially like the bizarro schedule punt the game spot is whatever New Orleans is going to do tonight against Indiana. Mike Gallagher brought this up at the start of the show too, or in the first hour, that New Orleans is in like a 4th and 5 nights. They put away the Knicks comfortably in the fourth quarter because the Knicks just could not score because they had no players. So New Orleans, and the final score looks like business as usual. It's like a real slog for the Pelicans in that game for a lot. It was a one possession game.
They would have lost if the Knicks were even close to full strength.
So it's and that's not like we bet the Knicks, like we got hammered in the game. Like, it's not about our bet. It's more just like it meant that I watched that game and I remember being like, oh, this looks, Pelicans look terrible. Like, they're winning. Like, they're going to win comfortably. They're going to look terrible. There's a chance they rest everybody tonight against Indiana, which is why, and the market is sort of half expecting that to happen. So this game opened, to give people an idea, so McCollum, Zion, Ingram, Trey Murphy, all questionable. Alvarado is still suspended. Dyson Daniels is still out. And you might be like, Dyson Daniels, who cares? Well, if none of these guys care, or none of these guys play, I care. If both Alvarado and Daniels aren't going to play, opened Pacers 5, because like people probably weren't projecting the schedule rest spot as much, and is all the way out to 7, and will go way past that if all these guys sit out. So that's your kind of like nuclear injury spot of all the games for sure.
One other college game just to bring up right now, and we'll do these more at the end of the show when we have like more line movement, whatever, is the Illinois game, which I feel like I don't see like on the board right now.
If I can find the rotate. Oh, I see it. Bottom of the rotation numbers. Illinois opened 10.5 out to 12.
Against Minnesota.
The team that always covers for everybody.
Just got railroaded by Nebraska right? Over the weekend. Yeah. And Illinois barely covered this weekend. Jake, who did they beat? I bet them in the game. I forget. They made free throws at the end to win. Iowa, maybe? Yeah, it was Iowa. I laid 9.5 and they won by 10 at the very end. That was like a great knife edge result that went my way. I kind of like Illinois a little bit, but it kind of feels like maybe it should be Minnesota right as a zigzag spot. Minnesota coming off the loss and Illinois coming off a win and Illinois is getting bet out. Maybe it is Minnesota.
That's not one I have a strong opinion on, but if you have a thought on the game, it's always the Minnesota thing's always funny. Like, the team that always covers no matter what, it's like, what is that? It's kind of like unders in the NBA, which are really popular right now, or popular to talk about because they've been hitting at an extremely high rate. Like, is it, and Mike Gallagher said this too, is like, is it just randomness? Like, it's just, yeah, you know, sometimes you're going to flip a coin 20 times in a row, you're going to get 20 heads. It's not because the coin's different or, you know, there was wind in the room when you were flipping it. It's just it's the way it goes sometimes. Is it that, or is there something that needs to be accounted for? You're never quite sure. And with Minnesota, like, it's, you know, what is the methodology for a team that covers all kinds of numbers at all kinds of places against all kinds of different teams that play different styles? Really, we're just not catching up to how good they are, or you know, just like 5 or 6 kind of coin flips go your way. Tonight will be a good litmus test for that because nobody expects them to be competitive in this game, despite a really strong ATS record.
Last one here. Do you have because I don't know what's happening here. I don't have like this game on my board either. Do you have a St. John's Butler number?
Yeah, yes. Same as open. Pick most places. Total almost the same. Has very, very little movement, like 151. Yeah, so you got a strong. We're gonna play on the Johnnies down the stretch here a little bit more. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. what color suit is Patino wearing? Most important.
Yeah, if it's a white suit, then it's the 401k on St. John's.
Seems unlikely at Butler. I don't know if we're gonna break out the white suit for the old Wednesday nighter at Butler. Let's go. Probably not when that makes an appearance.
I'm gonna have a monster college card tonight.
Okay. I don't know if I will. I'll definitely play a couple things. A ton of games. There's a lot of Pac-12 late that we haven't talked about yet. I would like to look into why.
Do you have any thoughts on
betting
Arizona State?
I was going to say I'd like to know why everyone's betting Oregon like they know the final score already. Would be like an interesting thing to look up. But the Pac-12 I haven't really looked at. We can do that in the next break or the break after.
Yeah, the Arizona State game is a little tough for me, right? Because Arizona State's coming off an upset win this weekend. Arizona got back on track. I like don't know what to do.
PJ put that on
PJ
our radar,
and I bet it.
Yeah, big, big, and didn't move, really. Like, there was not a lot of support for Arizona State.
And they blew them out. They won by 12,
Wazoo.
Right? They beat Wazoo.
The win was in doubt a little bit. The cover was basically never in doubt the entire game, which is rare in the sport of college basketball.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll talk about that game. I'm not going to have a bet on it unless you want to talk me into something for Arizona State later
Seems
in the
unlikely.
Show. Nick and Ken here on You Better You Bet. All right, let's run through a couple other teams here in 8 buckets, guessing win totals for teams in the National Football League. And we'll go to the Cincinnati Bengals, Ken. Coming up, and I was actually surprised when I saw this. Just like, you know, what did the Bengals actually finish last year? With Burrow was hurt to start the year, like played in games, but obviously wasn't himself after getting injured on like the first day of training camp. And then is lost for the season, I think, in like November in that Thursday night game against the Baltimore Ravens. The Bengals went 9-8. Like, they finished above 500 despite all of that. Now, some of that's because Jake Browning was a lot better than expected. And the Bengals like gave him the exclusive tender. So like Browning wants to start. But he'll be Joe Burrow's backup again this season. So the Bengals will have a good backup quarterback again in Jake Browning. They went 9-8 last year. It's a really good job by Zach Taylor. And Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator, becomes the new head coach of the Titans. Dan Pitcher, the quarterback coach, Peyton the Black, will be the new OC for Cincinnati. T. Higgins gets franchise tagged. Looks like he's going to be back either on like a big one-year deal or signed to a long-term deal. I don't think they can afford to give him a long-term contract. They have to pay Chase. They're already paying Burrow. So this might be like one, like roll it out for one more year with this core of players on offense and see if you can win a Super Bowl. Lou Anarumo returns as the defensive coordinator, Ken, for the Cincinnati Bengals. Thoughts on the Bengals win total for this year and their schedule?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. A team I actually don't think is very good, but that I think may just win a lot of games. And they'll be really interesting this year. So last year, as you mentioned, they win 9. They play like an 8-win team. Joe Burrow doesn't play in a lot of the games, so kind of who cares? We'll do schedule in a second. What I would draw people's attention to, I would not fall for the narrative that like, well, now that Joe Burrow's back, we're just like back to normal. And in your brain, back to normal is going to be contending for a Super Bowl. You picture the playoff games against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that's what it is. Sure, like Joe Burrow back, the offense could definitely take a step forward. They were 11th in DVOA on offense last year, which is not bad. Maybe, obviously, Burrow is going to be an improvement at quarterback over Jake Browning, even though he was really good. Maybe you have a top 5 offense next year and you keep T. Higgins. Maybe you have a top 10 offense next year. Totally reasonable to expect a step forward. They were 23rd on defense in DVOA. Their yards per attempt, net yards per attempt on defense, dead last in the league, 32nd. And Joe Burrow doesn't play any of those positions. So that would be my advice to people is like, okay, like, yeah, I would also expect the offense to be a little better this year because Joe Burrow's really good. He's better than Jake Browning. Also, why is the defense going to get better? Like, cool, they could make a lot of moves. They could do a bunch of stuff, maybe. Or not, because they don't have a lot of money. And we can see what happens. Like, they're just going to magically play better? That's just going to happen? Unreasonable to expect a top 10 defense from this team. It can be average because any team can be average on defense for the most part, but it's not going to be great. Like, I don't think this is a super team. I don't think this is anything close. And it's like when the team gets off of the rookie quarterback contract and onto the next phase, you kind of see this stuff happen all the time. And the defense was in some ways the worst in the league last year. I don't think it's reasonable that it's like, well, Joe Burrow's back, it's all good. Like, does he play, like, you know, zone defense for them on third down? Does that happen? It's tough. So from like a, is this team going to win the Super Bowl? I would be a really, really strong no. I will not bet them to win the Super Bowl probably the entire season, and almost certainly, or maybe even win the AFC. Regular season schedule. This is where things get really interesting because I don't think they're that good. They play the same divisions as Baltimore, obviously. NFC East, AFC West. So, you know, get to see them play some good teams, but that's not like a particularly like brutal double. They play in a really tough division. That's part of it. But like these extra games, this is to me where this gives them a tremendous advantage over the other three teams in their division. Baltimore's three extra games are Buffalo and Houston and Tampa, who's not particularly good, but Buffalo and Houston. Cincinnati's extra games are Tennessee, New England, and Carolina. Those are Cincinnati's three extra games. Like, okay, cool, 3-0, and who else are they playing? And what are the other three? So just, like, this is what I mean. This number is going to be higher than it's kind of supposed to be. Like, you see the division prices. The Ravens and the Bengals have almost the same price to win the division. This is part of that. The Bengals get three for free almost against the Ravens, and then they got to make them up somewhere else, the Ravens do. So, like, that's where this is going to come from a little bit. If we think the Ravens are, like, 10.5, 11, I think you can put the Bengals at, like, at least 10 against this schedule. Not that it's really easy. Those three games are easy, and feel okay about it.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this on the other side. Like, what Cincinnati's win total should be. If we're wrong, what direction are we wrong in? And what's our initial lean on what to do with that win total for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals? When we're done with the Bengals, we'll turn our attention to the Alex Fasano's Pittsburgh Steelers with, of course, reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner, Cam Hayward. That's coming up next, 8 Buckets, here on You Better You Bet. All right, all our bets for tonight coming up 20 minutes from now. NHL, college hoops, and the NBA. Maybe we'll get some golf bets from Tyler if he's feeling up to speaking on the air, getting over a sickness. If not, he'll just type his bets and we will read them to you. And we should probably do that because Tyler's coming off a win last week with Jake Knapp.
Jake Knapp.
Knapp. Knappster. Knapp.
Catching some Z's.
Download those songs. So we'll do that coming up in a little bit. Tyler said that he'll read his bets. Maybe at the end of this segment or beginning of next, we'll get golf bets from Tyler. But to wrap up the Bengals conversation, Ken, 10 for Cincinnati, you think, next year?
Yeah, if we're wrong, how are we wrong? Higher?
Lower.
Do you? 11.5 last year with those expectations?
I guess not. I guess it's kind of like
10.
Yeah. That's like my bias, I guess. Like, I don't know how good they're going to be this year. I don't think they're going to be bad. Yeah, I guess it's probably like maybe up. Maybe it's 10.5.
I don't like them a whole lot. I can't believe they get the three worst teams in the league, except Washington. Yeah, they get Tennessee, New England, and Carolina. Nobody else gets that. That's incredible.
So what would you want to do?
On the regular, you know what that kind of supports a little bit? It supports the Bengals having a good enough regular season for Burrow to actually win MVP. It's like what it actually kind of supports. And then not winning in the playoffs would actually be something close to that too, probably. And we could see what they do on the, I don't want to say the defense has to be bad. We haven't had the draft. We haven't had free agency. They know the defense was bad last year too. Just like what's realistic here in terms of, you know, projecting them for next year. It can be better, but is this, you know, is this the Niners or the Bills or, you know, like these teams that could, the Ravens, certainly, who we've done already, that can field like a top 8 offense and defense? Seems very unreasonable that the Bengals have a chance to do that next year.
And listen, and even like, you know, for people that are not watching the show, or if you are watching, you can see on the right rail of our screen, the AFC North division prices, Baltimore +150. Since he's like right behind them at +170, like this win total is going to be like at least 10 or 10.5. Like there's no question. It's just, yep. Then it's just like, what do you want to do with Cincinnati? Maybe we'll play an under or maybe not. We'll see what happens when we get there. Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers here. We'll do Cleveland afterwards. So we don't know who the Steelers quarterback is going to be, Ken. Will it be Kenny Pickett? Will it be Mason Rudolph? Will it be Russell Wilson? Justin Fields? I doubt that they would just like draft another rookie. I don't think that's going to happen. So Pickett, Rudolph, Wilson. We'll see if it's another Kirk Cousins. We'll see who the Steelers end up bringing in a quarterback. I'll say my opinion on the Steelers roster. I don't really think they're far off from being really, really good. It feels like that you plug a quarterback in. I think they have a chance to be awesome, right? Like they have the chance to like win the Super Bowl next year. I know you agree. You bet them at a huge price. Like, you need a better quarterback, obviously, than what they've got. What do you think we'll see for the Steelers win total? And what do we have for the Steelers schedule? This one's really fascinating.
Yeah, and look, we're going to be doing a lot of guesswork here, right? But to a certain extent, there's a floor here, because they've started a cavalcade of absolutely atrocious quarterbacks for a while, and they still win games, and they still make the playoffs a lot. So, like, we can plug in any quarterback we want. Like, the bidding starts at, like, 8, 8.5, probably, for where this is going to open. And we could talk about, like, how on the low end it is. Last year, they won 10 games. And as is often the case with Pittsburgh, they played like an 8-win team in terms of their point margin, but they won 10 games because, you know, their coach is really good at winning games in the regular season and never finishing under 500. So they won 10 games. They played like an 8-win team. That was obviously with the quarterback play that they got. Split-wise, remarkably, they were 15th in DVOA on offense last year, which makes no sense if you watch them play any games. The defense was as good as you probably thought it would be, or better, 6th. They were top 6 in the NFL in defensive DVOA last year. So again, like, you look at kind of the balance and you look at how they could upgrade and you go, this is to your point, Nick, where you go like, all right, defense stays relatively the same. Could take a small step backwards, forwards, whatever, about the same. Let's call them a top 10 defense. Plug a quarterback in. They were 15th last year. They also had Matt Canada for large parts of last year, and now they have Arthur
Good
Smith.
Good call. Honestly, like, that's a great call by you, and I should have, like, mentioned that also. Like, better, you would think a better offensive coordinator. I like Arthur Smith as an OC, replacing the atrocious Matt Canada.
I mean, you plug Wilson, Fields, Cousins is probably a pipe dream. Anyone else in? Okay, like, you want to still have, like, a lot of young skill position players. Like, I mean, I always think about, like, if you put, like, Cousins, Fields, whatever, it's like, is George Pickens going to win, like, Offensive Player of the Year next year? Like, is that possible? Like, look who's been throwing him the ball. Like, look at what any of this has been. And now you're going to upgrade it to competent. Like, it can be pretty awesome. It can be a lot better, I think, than people think. They're not perfect. They got to get better at some things. But I think they're a really interesting team for that reason. They are very good at one side of the ball. They are going to take steps to upgrade the other side. They've already done it with an offensive coordinator. They're probably going to do it with a quarterback. And that makes them really interesting. Depending on who the quarterback is, will probably determine the win total specifically. Scheduling wise, same two divisions as the rest of the AFC North, obviously. NFC East and AFC West. Their place in their division drew them the Jets and the Colts, which is, again, not an ideal, like, the Bengals get the draw of all time, and part of that is the other teams don't then. So the Jets and the Colts isn't impossible. Colts is probably a toss-up game no matter what. And then their bonus opponent from the NFC South is the Falcons, and a lot of that will depend on who the Falcons quarterback is going into
the
next
Arthur
year
Smith
projects.
Revenge game?
There is an Arthur Smith. And by the way, when I did the Ravens, I go, yeah, they're going to play the Chargers and Justin Herbert next year. Like, well, I kind of buried the lead about that game because Jim Harbaugh's
the Harbaugh ball.
Yeah. So the Harbaughs get to play each other. It's like,
yeah, we saw it in a Super Bowl. It's lost its luster.
Yeah, that didn't get heavily covered. That wasn't a big deal when those two played each other, or coached against each other, I should say. So look, like, what's the Steelers number going to be? It's going to be the worst number in the division. But again, this is a highly competitive division where all four teams probably think they can win a Super Bowl pretty soon, or at least make a deep run in the playoffs. So it's going to be something like 8. Like, that's probably about the number. And that's going to change depending on who the quarterback is. But I would expect something that starts with an 8 with a lot of these different quarterback options.
Yeah, I think I think probably 8.5 is probably closer. And, like, your bet again is, like, is it 500 or under 5? Over 500
if it's
or
Wilson,
under 500?
Is it 8.5 if it's Wilson? I think it's 8.
How about
Pete? Wilson.
How about, yeah. Okay, what if it's Pickett?
8 juiced under.
And what if it's Russ? 8 even?
Yeah, 8.
It was. Something. It does go noted. I'm kind of bullish on Russell Wilson if he's the Steelers quarterback next year. Prisco on the show earlier said he thinks, like, Russell Wilson might not be a starter in the NFL anymore. And, like, and so a couple weeks ago, Mike, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN on Get Up. It's time to get up with Mike Tannenbaum. And Mike Tannenbaum said that the Jets should sign Russell Wilson to back up Aaron Rodgers. And he got, like, laughed off the set. So Mike Tannenbaum has been the general manager for a couple NFL teams. Like, there's a chance that he's saying that for not for clicks, but whatever, saying it for attention. Also, he's not stupid. He probably knows something. And I'm not suggesting that he knows that the Jets want to do that, but maybe he knows that the league doesn't view Russ as a starter anymore. Like, maybe we should start thinking about that with Prisco saying that earlier. He doesn't, he basically telling you he doesn't think Russ is going to be a starter in the league next year. Then it's, would Russ be a backup quarterback or would he retire? Like, who knows what would happen at that point?
Oh, man. So, like, what am I realistically hoping for then if I bet the Steelers 100-1? Like, what am I, like, a shot in the dark that they get Justin Fields? That's what I'm hoping for?
Do you think Pickett's, like, dead? Like, not actually dead, but, like, dead, like, to be good?
Do I think he's alive? Yeah, right. Last I checked, I think he was in good shape. I think it's really, really unlikely, but I don't, you know, you mentioned, like, Mike Tannenbaum's on GetUp saying stuff like, I don't know any of the behind the scenes, like, and that the strategy stuff that goes in. Like, maybe Arthur Smith is going to be the different. Don't laugh if you're listening. Maybe Arthur Smith is going to be the difference maker here. How many times did we complain about Matt Canada? Like, the worst. How many times, like, Alex, other Steelers fans we know? Like, when you go from the worst to good, maybe that does mean the quarterback can be salvaged. I'm not optimistic. But I guess you hold out some hope that could happen. Like, what happens when you get not Matt Canada in there? Maybe to a certain extent, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It'll be better. But look, like, for me to realize any equity in Super Bowl, I don't think it can be Pickett. I think it needs to be better than that. But, like, I can be wrong about that.
Eight, Russell Wilson, I bet over. And I feel like, really, that's a bet that I would actually. So we say for after all of these, I'd bet this. I consider betting this. I might not make those bets. Like, we'll get to the ones that I feel really good about. I would bet over on the Steelers with Russell Wilson if the number were 8, like to finish 500, over 500. Excuse me.
I mean, if the Ravens are going to be like 10.5, 11 more, the Bengals are going to have a really high number. We haven't done Cleveland yet. That's going to be a really high number. Like, there aren't enough wins for the Steelers to be, like, 8.5 is the absolute ceiling, I think. Like, play it out. Agreed. The best case. We played it out kind of the bottom part. Like, what if it's Pickett? What if it's Russell Wilson? All right, like, what if it's Kirk Cousins? Then, like, what is this number?
9?
8.5? I would bet the over aggressively on 9 with Cousins, even in this division. Like,
So, 9.5?
More than that. Yeah, and then where does that come from? Like, it's who gets rated worse?
Yeah, and then, like, and how does it impact the other teams in the division?
Yeah. Like, are they, here's the crazy part, if they got Cousins, would they still have the 4th best odds to win their own division? Yeah.
They would, yeah.
It would be really, it would get a lot flatter, I'll tell you that much. It'd get a lot, you'd have, like, 2, 2, 3, 4 would be, like, your prices to win the division or something. Or less at the bottom.
I'm looking at the screen, right? I have ESPN on, and Seth Walder did like a free agency predictions.
So ESPN analytics Kirk guy, right?
Yeah. I don't know anything. I don't know him at all.
No, I don't know either.
Predicting Kirk Cousins will sign with the Falcons.
But he's like a numbers guy. Where does that come from?
Great question.
It's like, well, I talked to a renowned mathematician, and he said Kirk Cousins is going to sign with Atlanta. Like, I don't know. It's like, I talked to this Microsoft Excel program, and saying he's going to sign with the Falcons. I'm not even knocking
it. Like,
I'm sure we do a lot of the same stuff. Yeah. So
I thought to Pascal, and he told me this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, great. Like, it'd be very interesting if that happens. I don't know. So the Steelers are very interesting for that reason. But yeah, what you've learned, we haven't even done Cleveland yet. Brutal, brutal division, even more than usual, maybe even more than last year, because you had the Burrow injury last year and the Deshaun injury last year. Does this year, do you actually, like, realize the potential of these four teams all playing at their best?
I think my big takeaway from this segment is, after the show, I'm going to bet the Steelers to win the Super Bowl, and I'm going to join you.
There are no hundreds anymore. Sorry to break that to you, though.
like they're close. Like the roster, like obviously they could use some help.
Right, but they're close in the wrong way though. They're close in the court. They're close where it's like, well, they're just one player away, and it's the most important player on the team. That's the problem.
I'm not like Kenny Pickett's not dead to me yet. Like I'm still potentially
not dead to me, but I'm not optimistic. Why would you be optimistic?
Yeah. I mean, he still, like, he wins a lot of games still. Like, he plays well at the ends of games. Like, he's a little, like, young Eli in that sense. No, look, Eli had a good statistical season in his second season and, like, won the division. Like, Kenny Pickett didn't do that. Like, Eli Manning didn't get benched for, you know, like, Jared Lorenzen, rest in peace. You know, like Kenny Pickett did for Mason Rudolph. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I still think Pickett's got a chance to be good.
If he, if Pickett plays really well this year, does that mean Matt Canada's the worst offensive coordinator of all time?
Of all time, I mean, there are some really bad ones. He's in consideration. Who's the worst absolutely one? Terrible. Who's the worst offensive coordinator ever? I don't know. Canada's the worst one recently, for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
Jason Garrett? No, because Garrett was as good as the Cowboys' offensive coordinator before he was the head coach.
I mean, like, now that we've separated him from a really good player, like Nathaniel Hackett?
Tyler's got a really good one. Well, I think Hackett's like OC. I think he's okay. Head coach is one of the worst. Not a good OC.
They had the worst offense in the league last year.
But Tyler, Juan Castillo was the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, right? Not offense.
No, but didn't he
offensive line coach?
He was the offensive line coach, right? Is that what it was? And then coached
the
defense.
Then they made him the defensive coordinator.
It's like Matt Patricia. This is like this. Yeah. So. I'm
trying to think of like who else would be good. It's like worst offensive coordinator ever.
I thought you'd have a pretty good answer to this one. I thought there would be a guy who comes to mind. I don't know. Maybe not. But I guess because they get lost to history because they don't stay offensive coordinator for very long.
Well, because you feel like the coach gets the blame for it. Like the head coach will get the blame if things are going like really off the rails. And you've got a lot of offense.
Who coordinated the Eagles' offense? Who coordinated the Eagles' offense last year? Brian Johnson. Is that the guy's name?
No way. He can't be the worst ever.
Why not? They went from Shane Steichen really and they make the Super Bowl to like a terrible offense with exactly the same players.
I mean, Hurts was like the MVP favorite, like how many weeks into the season?
Yeah, he was. And then he really wasn't.
And then he really wasn't. Also might have been hurt. I'm not saying Brian Johnson's Bill Walsh, just that I don't know if we can put him in like the conversation with Matt Canada.
I'm just thinking of names. Give me a guy. I don't know. I thought you'd be better than this. You're way better at this than I am, is what I meant.
I just, I don't really think of things in those terms, I guess. Like, who's the worst offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Or, like, who's, like, the... Yeah.
Who have you yelled at?
Maybe I'll think about
it
during the break.
Matt Canada.
Well, Arthur Smith is a head coach. Matt Canada, OC. On the other side, Tyler's golf bets for the cognizant, and we'll roll through all the hashtag winter sports, NBA, college hoops, NHL, all our bets for tonight.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the BetQL Network.
Analyst Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run and Pete Prisco live from the scouting combine of CBS Sports. Our executive producer, Alex Fasano. Tactical director, Tyler Morales. You'll hear from Tyler in a second. Our engineer, Jake the Snake Hassan. And our video producer is God's Perfect Creation, downtown, Mike Brown. Coming up after us, a four-hour live betting extravaganza known to you and yours as BetMGM tonight. All right, let's get golf bets here from the man who called Jake Knapp last weekend and took home a winner, breaking the streak, breaking the cold spell, as Tyler tweeted this weekend before he went down with a terrible temperature. So let's get to it right now. Golf bets for the cognizant.
From the comfort of their homes, You Better You Bet presents Golf Bets. Now up to the tee box, it's Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, and Tyler Morales.
All right, Tyler, you're gotta be feeling pretty good right now, coming off a dub. Also, you're very sick. What are the bets for the cognizant?
Yeah, shout out Jake Knapp for ending the second place streak, and shout out to everyone who listened to the show. I got so many nap time tweets in my mentions, and I was sweating. People were wondering why I wasn't live tweeting this. I was on a flight watching this on my iPad on like 240p. I couldn't even tell where the ball was landing. I was just listening to the announcers, and thankfully, Jake Knapp won. It was an all-time betting sweat. The people next to me must have thought I was nuts. But hopefully, we'll get another back-to-back winner here. Cameron Young.
And then you gave them all COVID, which is great.
Well, he was like 2:40 p. I was like 2:40 p.m. Eastern. I was like, oh, it was a resolution joke. I like couldn't figure that out at first. I was trying to get to the watching it on 2:40.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, low res.
I had no idea where low res going.
Yeah.
Cameron Young, 22 at MGM, home for the best Cameron Young number. I said a few weeks ago, Hideki Matsuyama's low key back, and then he went to win the Genesis. Cam Young is low key back. He's hitting the ball like he was a few years ago, and this is a phenomenal spot for him. Nobody wants him because he's never won, but Tyler wants him. He only plays well on long, difficult golf courses. Let's get Cameron Young. JT Poston, 35-1, the postman. Hopefully he delivers on Sunday. Tom Kim, 30-1, our guy, the show that made him famous. For a guy that isn't long off the tee, he plays really well on long, difficult golf courses. He crushes the comp courses, the PGA National. The putting is completely gone, but he's a guy that doesn't need a lot of good putting play to go on a run. He's super streaky. It wouldn't surprise me if he got hot this week. And he has more win equity than anybody in this tournament. But Rory, we like Tom Kim. We're back with Doug Him, 80-1. We're going to go plus 650 top 10. He's just like not stopping. The last three events, 13th, 12th, and 8th. His short-term stats are as good as anyone in the field. We're going to go with Doug Gim here, and hopefully he's him on Sunday. And your weekly Akshay Bhatia, 80-1. He is, for someone that's one on tour and who fits perfectly on this golf course, long and straight, you have to hit it. I mean, Akshay Bhatia, 80-1, is insane. And the putting is actually good since he switched to broomstick. So Cameron Young, JT Poston, Tom Kim, Doug Him, and Akshay Bhatia.
Call your shot. Who wins?
The postman will deliver on Sunday this week. Let's go JT Poston.
All right, it's JT Poston, the call of your shot. Last week, the call of your shot was Mark Hubbard, and Jake Knapp won. The money's still the same, even if the call of your shot guy doesn't win.
Right.
But the call of your shot
like
guy
when Cam
this week,
Young wins. Right, well, I'll be like, oh, okay, it still counts.
You still get paid.
Still won money.
You still get paid. All right, and those are Tyler's bets for the Cognizant. All right, let's get to our bets for tonight, NBA, hockey, and college hoops, which means it's time for our pal Jake the Snake to kindly drop the dope-ass beat. All right, over at our show sponsor, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, once a day, you can play the BetMGM Fast Break for a chance to win daily prizes. You can play as the point guard, and you can either pass it to Kevin Garnett, you can pass it to Jalen Rose, or take it to the hoop yourself. If you score, you win a prize. Details can be found on BetMGM.com. Download the BetMGM app and start winning with the king of sportsbooks. Ken, only two games tonight in the National Hockey League. Let's start there. Any bets for you in the NHL?
It's tough to see two games where it's, prohibitive favorite that's been really good this year at home against a team that you're not going to like very much, even like schedule wise. Like, Blues are in a really bad fatigue spot. The Blue Jackets just beat the Rangers and now go to Madison Square Garden. Like, that's why the prices are what they are. But even like, they'd be minus 280 in a lot of setups. This is just bad for both. I mean, like, how about this? Who do you think is more likely to lose tonight of the two favorites? I don't even know.
I guess Edmonton.
Blues second night of a back-to-back going to, I mean, it's
but Binnington's
that's
playing.
The more
I would say it, but I don't think either team's going to lose though.
Two-team money line parlay?
I said that earlier.
Yeah. What is that? Did you do it? What does it pay? Have you put it together?
I have not done it yet. I'm planning on doing it momentarily. About 6:54 p.m.
Right.
Eastern time.
Right. I understand. A couple bucks on that may be fun. I don't see anything in either hockey game, though, to your point.
Hold on. Why isn't this loading here? I'll tell you what it is in a second. Or I won't, or it just won't load. Minus 115.
Huh. You could do worse.
Doesn't seem bad for the Rangers and Oilers to win tonight against two bottom feeders. All right. Absolutely love it. Okay. That is the National Hockey League for tonight. Ken, let's go to the NBA and we'll close with college hoops. I think there are a couple spots that you're eyeing here in the NHL or the NBA, excuse me.
Yeah. We talked about Dallas and liking them earlier. This is a guess more than anything. The fatigue spot is atrocious for the Mavericks. Road trip, 3rd and 4, brutal loss to the Cavs. Everybody know what happens in that game. Looks like they're going to play basically everyone. Updated injury information for them, like only Maxi Kleba is not going to play, and he's actually like a pretty helpful player for them, but against Toronto hopefully it doesn't matter. More like a play on like Dallas against a much 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 more inferior team than what they've seen so far in their last like 5 or 6 games. When they went on their long winning streak, they got snapped against Indiana. A lot of that was just like the schedule and who they played, and they were able to feast on a lot of those teams. That's Toronto tonight, honestly. So a number like 3 or 3.5. I like Dallas. And then the second one And this is kind of like one of those markets like what we followed yesterday. New Orleans has announced that they're going to play all of their starters tonight. So Zion's going to play. Brandon Ingram's going to play. CJ McCollum's going to play. And he hasn't played the last couple days, or a couple games, I should say. And Trey Murphy's going to play. So pretty much a full deck for the Pelicans tonight. But they are in really up against it from a fatigue spot. And they're up against it from a fatigue spot playing a team that likes to run at about 900 miles per hour in the Indiana Pacers. This, I think, is a great setup to play Indiana. You got the guys playing for the Pelicans, which crashes the market in like a way that it's supposed to. The teams are viewed as more even. Pelicans are more likely to win, but they're not more likely to win because this is an atrocious fatigue spot for them. So it's actually, like, I think, a pretty good setup to play Indiana. I'm trying to wait. Tyler's saying 3.5 appeared and then went.
I just saw it. I saw the same thing that he saw. Yeah. So went back to 4. It looks like that was a resistance point.
So yeah, it looks like 4s are all over the board right now, but 3.5 might be hard to come by, and the game starts in about an hour. 4 would be a bet for me. I mean, you really just wanted the injury news to get like fully baked into this before you play Indiana. Probably my favorite bet tonight.
All right, so Indiana and Dallas for Ken. I like both of those also. I was not planning on playing the Pacers, and now we have this run out, so I'll roll with Indiana tonight. Dallas is one of the games that I liked as soon as I saw the board this morning. I'll have another, and like, bet the Bulls last night, laying 10.5. They lost outright, which was great, yeah. And they lost to the Detroit Pistons. But worth noting, the Bulls, I could have this wrong. I'm really close to being right if I'm wrong. They shot like 2 for 29 from 3-point last night.
Sounds
like they
bad.
Could not make a shot. They're all like laughing about it after the game, the players. Not laughing like, oh, isn't it funny that we lost? Just like, what do you want us
suck.
To do? Like, I actually think that they just got really unlucky last night. Like, the shooting was so bad. Even if it's average, I don't know if they cover the spread, but they probably win the game last night against the Pistons. So I think this is a pretty advantageous spot to play on the Bulls tonight at home against the Cavs, who should have lost. So I think the Bulls should have won last night if not for the terrible 3-point shooting. And on the flip side, you have a Cavaliers team that won and is like getting talked up as like an NBA Finals contender today. They should have lost last night to Dallas. Like, they escaped from that game with the victory here. And I'm getting 5.5 with the team at home here with the Bulls. I could be missing this year. Maybe they get blown out. Maybe the Cavs are just that good. I'll take the 5.5 with the Bulls tonight. So I'll roll with Ken. I'll lay the Mavericks on the road to Toronto. We'll lay the Pacers at home against the Pelly Pels. And I'll take the points with the Bulls at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ken, bets for you tonight in college hoops to wrap.
I'll go quick because I know you have like a billion things that you like. If you're trying to figure out like what are the games that fit the description of the things we won on last night, BYU and Kentucky, there would be a couple games that fit that description. You would almost certainly want to play Auburn at 7 tonight against Tennessee. There's been a little buyback on Auburn recently. This opened much less. There's been a lot of interest in Tennessee. Auburn on the road at a big number seems like something not a lot of people are interested in. And then another big one that stands out, well, two really. One of them, which I didn't notice until you said something, you're going to want to wait till 8:29 and play South Carolina at the biggest number possible against Texas A&M. That's out to 6 now in a few places, opened at like a one possession game. And has moved that way. And then Maryland Northwestern is the other game that's behaving like this, and this one starts in just a couple minutes. Maryland opened 3, 3.5. That's out to 6 now in a few places. Northwestern's had some injuries, but they've been, you know, pretty good recently, and a well-coached team, keep the game close. Very low total in that game too. So we'll play Northwestern. I'll play Auburn at 7. That's probably the one I like the least. And then what's the other big favorite we're going to play back on? I lost my train of thought.
There are a couple others.
Yeah,
right. And South Carolina's getting 5.5 tonight in Texas A&M. Two others. Creighton, I think, sets up really well in this vein, laying 9 at home against Seton Hall. And the other would be, if you wanted to play against Illinois, would be Minnesota on the road at Illinois. Illinois coming off the 10-point win against Iowa. Minnesota gets railroaded by Nebraska. Illinois has gotten bet out to 12. At home against Minnesota. So I think Minnesota makes some sense here. So I'm going to have a huge card tonight. First off, I'm laying it with Marquette. They're like my Milwaukee Bucks right now of college hoops. They're laying 11.5 at home against Providence. Give me Marquette. I will lay the 9 with Creighton against Seton Hall. I'll take the points with South Carolina. It's 5.5 right now against Texas A&M. I'll take 12 with Minnesota. I think I said that already, but I haven't written in this order now. Against Illinois, I will lay the points with Alabama on the road at Ole Miss. SEC road teams be damned. Give me the Crimson Tide tonight at Ole Miss. And give me Rick Pitino and his suit. St. John's laying 1 on the road at the Butler Bulldogs. Oh, yeah. Tonight's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Right. I go, it's like, oh, and I'm going to moneyline parlay those NHL favorites. It's like, well, why? When you have that many bets, why is that oh, necessary?
I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm good on the NHL for tonight. I don't want to, like, sweat NHL tonight. Off.
Right.
Yeah, and then
no days off, tomorrow. One day off, actually. That's
one day off. One day off. All right, good show today, Ken. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck to us. May God help us.
All right, to all our listeners and viewers, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.